It is June 13th, 2016, and this is Jennifer Voss substituting for the wonderful Terry DeMeo, who is off with the Dalai Lama or something this week. And this is Coach the Coach Practicum 4, Group B. I'm with Group B, and it's the October Life Coach Training Cohort. So I really was thrilled when Terry asked if I could substitute for this class today because this is just kind of what I love to do. So, but I wanted to start off, there was a question on the forum from Cindy about tools. Do you want to tell me, you said, when I look back over the curriculum, it confounds me how much I don't remember. That being said, there are some tools I use all the time. Would you recommend working with a tool that doesn't get used often or approach it organically and see what happens? Anything else you want to add to that question, Cindy, before?
No, not really. I mean, it's just that there are certain tools that I find that are, they're less specific, more general, and so you use them more, you know? I mean, that's what I, so, and then there are other tools, like there are things when I go through the list, and I look at the certification list of all the things, and I'm like, wait a minute, what is that? You know, so it's, it's an incredible amount of information. So that
there is an incredible amount of information, yes. And what tools do you find yourself going to, just out of curiosity?
Okay, let's see. I use a metaphor tool a lot. I use the most of the tools that we started out with, the Say When, the Say More, the Five Whys. I use the Thought Work a lot, the Work in ACT. And then the things I find that I use less often are the Dream Analysis. But I do use the Dream Analysis when it comes to the body. I have used that quite a bit. But that's really what I find I use the most. And I don't know if it's just because back in the day when we were learning them, there was less to learn, so they made a home, you know, in what I know. Or I don't know if that's just what seems to work, if I just don't remember enough of the other stuff. So that's
so here's my thoughts on that. The reason why we teach some of those tools first off is because they are kind of the core basic tools, and we ask you to practice them and so that they do kind of find a home. That's actually good to hear if they resonate with you, of course. I mean, we don't want you to go off practicing tools that, you know, feel like you're pushing rocks uphill forever and ever. But it's what, to me, you're building your core toolbox by using those tools, actually those tools that you just named. It's building your core toolbox of tools that you could use with almost any client at any point in time, because any square you can pretty much find a limiting belief. Not that you always want to. Sometimes you want to be carrying the client into the future and actually facilitating, you know, them reaching their goals and things like that. But then when you find a limiting belief that gets in the way, then you have that tool, so to speak.
Right.
What I'm hearing you say is that you've got this fundamental toolbox. Now, all the other tools are for you to play with. It's like having different paint colors in your palette, and you start mixing and blending and playing with them. And, you know, even tools like Dream Analysis, if you are a kind of mind-body bent to, you know, go into the body and do a lot of, you know, body compass awareness and stuff, using Dream Analysis on a symptom or not a symptom, but a sensation in the body is a great tool to have. I myself actually use Dream Analysis mostly on that kind of thing. I don't as much use Dream Analysis on full-blown dreams, but it's just my preference in the clients I tend to attract. And then every once in a while there would be an awesome dream that is, you know, somebody's in square two and has this whale of a dream that they can't shake, and then I've got that tool available, but it's not that I use it even once a week, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so when I was, there are other tools, and oh, my God, you know, Martha's books, it's like, Martha's books are full of tools. If we expected you to know every tool by the end of your training and have used it and mastered it, that would be ridiculous. I don't even know every tool in Martha's books, and I've been, you know, working with her since 2008. To me, that's not the point. The point is to have a whole realm of tools that you can kind of try on and see what suits your style. Mm-hmm. And what I found was is that I would have my toolbox, and all of a sudden I had a client that, you know, we would kind of work through something, and I think, you know, I want another angle. I want another way to kind of approach this, and puzzle crack, or a different kind of way to ask these questions. And so I would go searching for kind of a variation on the metaphor tool, which, you know, they're like 10 different metaphor. There's a whole chapter on the metaphor, working with metaphor, not even a chapter, a whole section in Finding Your Way. And I'd say, you know, let me figure out another way to play with metaphor. And I would bring it in, and I would start playing with that new tool to add it to my toolbox. And then invariably I'd have three or four clients within the next month that tool would be perfect for. So... Mm-hmm. You know, and so now, lo and behold, I have a new little tool in my toolbox that I've started practicing, but it's over time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I just, you know, sometimes that panic comes up, and I go, oh, my God, it's age. You know, I'm just too old to remember all this stuff.
No, and that's why even the certification, it is, you know, we don't even have any good language for it, because yes, it's a review that, you know, is kind of, we work until you quote unquote pass it. It's not pass or fail. I don't think anybody's ever failed it, but we don't have the right language for it, but it's the reason why it's set up the way it's set up is that it's all open book. You know, it's all, we don't expect you to have memorized and mastered everything in all of this stuff. But if you have practiced the tools that we've specifically talked about in class, especially those early on ones, the work and ACT and Say More and, you know, throwing out your hunches and tell me where I'm wrong and all of that, that's your basic core toolbox.
Okay. Good.
That help?
Yes, it does.
The lizard at bay a little bit?
Yes. Only the head is poking out right now, so we're good.
Awesome. Any other questions come up around that, though? Anything else pop into mind, or for anybody else? No? All righty. Let me see. Any other questions on the forum? Not that I see, unless it was just posted and I haven't refreshed. All right. Who joined that I have not said hello to? Somebody else has joined.
Hi, this is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
I just want to get everybody's voice into the room, so to speak. Excellent. All right. Jennifer, you said very, very affirmatively that you wanted to coach today. Is that still true?
Yes.
Yay. Good. So I'd like for you to be the first coach. And has anybody had an issue that they just really are like, I would love some coaching around this? We've had a couple people volunteer, but I just want to make sure I just throw it out there to the group, because sometimes I've come to these classes and people are like, oh, my God, I could use a coach right now. No? Okay. So, Melissa, at the top of the call, you said you'd be willing to be a client. Is that still true?
Yes.
Excellent. All right. And then, Cindy, I see that you've also offered to be a coaching client. We'll get you as a coach on the second time around,
great.
And then we'll find a client by that time. Is that cool?
Sounds good.
Good. All right. All right. So, this really, there are, this is elsewhere too in the coach training, so to speak. There are no rules, and that's okay. Just Jennifer, just meet Marissa wherever she is, and I'll be here if you want any help, and you can just play away.
Okay. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
All right. So, is there anything going on in your life right now that's stressful, or you know, where are you at right now? What would you like to get out of today's session?
I'm not sure really if it's stressful, but I feel a little bit at a loss. And I have been married for 12 years to my amazing husband who had four kids. I have no kids. And so through him, I have four grandchildren. And his son is married and has twins who are 5 years old. And I adore these kids, and there's really just weird boundaries that I don't understand. Maybe it's because I'm not of that family for a long time, but mom just doesn't let us, I don't know what it is. For instance, we wanted to take them to the lake, and she said, no, they can't be around open water without the parents. We wanted them, they have never stayed all night with us. She's afraid to let them stay all night at our house because we have a pool, but it has a cover. I mean, and we're pretty responsible people. And I just don't know how to navigate our relationship with them and see the kids like we want to. So I'm at a loss. So we'll start with that. How's that?
Okay. So can you say more about being at a loss? How is this, what's the feeling here?
Well, I proposed these ideas to her, and just, for instance, I asked her if we could take the kids to a movie, and to set up a movie with the kids, took us 7 weeks to do, and they live 20 minutes from us. I don't know where to go with this, in part because I just really want to respect the relationship my husband has with his son, and I feel like a bit of a outsider in this, but he wants to see him and I want to see him, and I'm not even answering your question.
Are you answering the question? I think you're doing fine. What I'm just wanted you to say more a little bit about was the feelings that this is, you said you're at a loss. Is this, you know, making you feel in what way? Is it a
it makes
views sad? That's what I'm trying to
say. Yeah, definitely it makes me sad that I don't get to just be in their lives as much as I want to be. We're the grandparents who don't know them very well. I feel like we're outsiders. For instance, holidays are never planned with us in mind. All the grandparents went on a cruise with the kids, except we weren't invited. And I don't know if it's my, you know, I assume it's the relationship that my husband's ex has with him that dictates this, but I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I feel very, this is new for me. I've never had, I mean, I have people who drop their kids off because they want me to watch them. You know, just friends and stuff. I've had kids in my life always, and so all of a sudden I feel like I'm not trusted and I'm confused.
Okay.
And I'm hurt.
Yeah. So why is it bad to feel hurt?
Why? I'm sorry.
Why is it bad to feel hurt?
I don't think it's bad. I just don't want to. I mean, there are only five. I don't want to feel this for the next, you know, 10, 12 years.
So what is
and I know the kids love us very much, and the kids want to be with us. I mean, they voice that.
What do you think the most painful thought is that you're having? Like, what's going on in your, what's the story you're telling yourself about why this is happening? Is there a thought that you can isolate there?
Oh, that's a good question. That we're not, that I'm not trusted.
That I am not trusted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think it feeds into that whole I'm not enough thing that goes on in my head that I fight.
So do you think it's the thought is I'm not enough or that I'm not trusted by this? Is it your daughter-in-law? Is that how?
Yes, daughter-in-law. I'm not trusted. Yeah.
So when's the last time that you had that thought that I am not trusted? Can you kind of take me there and tell me what was happening when you had that thought?
Yeah, it would be when I had with the organization I was director of for 12 years, and I had a couple people within the organization and the board, a few of the members of the board, really turn against me and say some ugly and mean and very untrue things about me. And I was blown away by the fact that they were new board members, but that there was no trust there. It just kind of blew my mind.
Okay. So now I want you to really think about this thought that I'm not trusted. Is that true? That I'm not trusted?
I don't know, so I guess I'd have to say no.
No, okay. And so if you can kind of get to that place where, you know, you're in front of this the board, this new board, and they're saying things to you that's blowing you away, that you're not trusted. So look at it like it's on a movie screen. And I want to know how does that feel? Like, where does that hit you in your body when you have that thought that I'm not trusted?
Both sad and confused. It feels like that was a great question, because it feels like when I was a child, I was this incredibly well-behaved child who tried to be perfect, and yet nothing, I mean, I wasn't trusted at the age of 18 to be out after 10 o'clock. So it feels like, I don't know, when I'm trying to do everything right and then I get no trust in return, it's hurtful and confusing.
But if you can scan your body when you're having that thought that I'm not trusted, can you get a physical sensation? Is it hitting you any particular place in your body?
It's my chest and my stomach.
Is it a tightness, or what? Can you describe the feeling in your chest and your stomach?
In my chest, it's just that feeling that you get before you cry. So it's a very heavy heart, and in my stomach, it just feels like nervousness.
Yeah, like butterflies, nervousness.
Uh-huh.
So when you're looking at that moment on the movie screen, how do you treat yourself when you believe the thought that I am not trusted?
I would treat myself like the smacked around kid that I was. Yeah, I kind of feel like I emotionally smacked myself.
So are you being hard on yourself? Is that what you're trying to say? Or are you, when you say you're treating yourself like the smacked around kid, what does that mean to you?
It's kind of like, it's really bad, actually. It's kind of like you shoot a piece of shit, actually.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. You said really bad, and then you...
I said it kind of feels like that I'm thinking that stupid piece of shit. Like, I am a stupid piece of shit.
I see. So your inner critic is...
Uh-huh.
Giving you thoughts that you're a stupid piece.
That slapped around kid part, yeah. I must be really, really inept.
Okay. And how do you treat others when you believe this thought that I am not trusted? So you're in front of that board, those new board members, and you're feeling this thought. You're treating yourself the way you just described, that you feel like you're a stupid piece of shit. How are you treating others when you're believing this thought that I am not trusted?
Defensively and very not trusting of them.
Not trusting of them. Okay. And whose business do you think you're in when you're believing this thought that I am not trusted by them?
How do I actually feel? Or
it's more.
I feel like it's.
So you've got your business, you've got their business, and you've got God's business. So who?
Right, I get it. How do I feel? In that moment, I feel like it's my business. My head's telling me, no, it's not. But that's how I feel at the time, yeah.
Okay. So what is the payoff of holding on to this thought that I am not trusted? Is there any payoff that this thought's giving you?
No.
There must be some promise that this thought gives you. Can you think of it? When you're looking at yourself on the movie screen and you're having this thought, is there something you're getting that this thought is giving to you?
You know, the only thing that comes to my mind is, as a child, my reality was played with a lot. I was even told things that I saw I didn't see, and it feels like that.
Okay. So now if I could wave a magic wand and I could take that thought away from you, you can't have that thought that I am not trusted, but you can have all your other thoughts. Now, who would you be without that thought? Can you see yourself that way? Does everyone trust you?
Oh. trying to connect the feeling because I keep thinking things like genuine, but that's not a feeling. Well, I guess it does. I do feel more authentic.
You feel more authentic?
Mm-hmm. I feel more peaceful.
More peaceful. How would you view the situation differently when you're sitting in front of those new board members when you don't have that thought that I'm not trusted?
It just makes it very clear that, which I'm not there anymore, but it makes it very clear that I don't want to be in that environment where people don't trust me. I mean, I trust me, and so I feel strong when I don't feel have that thought.
Okay. And so can you think of a stress-free reason to keep this thought that I'm not trusted?
Yes, it just brings me more peace.
So the stress-free reason to keep the thought would be no, then.
Oh, to keep the thought.
Stress-free reason to keep
the thought. No, not really.
Okay, so let's turn it around. Can you start with the opposite of this thought?
Mm-hmm.
I am trusted.
Can you give me some evidence in your life of I am trusted? Where in your life are you trusted?
I'm trusted by my family and close friends. They come to me with questions, and they trust me.
Can you think of some other evidence that I am trusted?
I'm trusted by my colleagues. I'm trusted to be where I say I'll be and do what I say I'll do.
Okay. If you can find two things, you can find three. Give me some more evidence of I am trusted. And if you need some help, you said it right when we started. You said that you have people who are dropping off their children left and right to your house.
I do. And animals trust me.
Animals trust you. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So animals trust you and other parents trust you with their children.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that you're very trusted. So let's go, let's see, can you think of another turnaround to this thought? Sometimes you can go to what feels more true. You can go to my mind, or you can go to my spirit. There's other ways to turn it around, but let's see if something feels more true than the original thought that I am not trusted.
Well, I am trusted feels more true.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And I guess the turnaround could be that I don't trust.
Do you think that's truer than the original?
No. There is truth in it, but no, it's not true.
Okay. Well, does it feel complete with I am trusted, and how do you feel? Does this feel complete?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Awesome. So one of the things that you can do as homework is if you have this thought again, because sometimes, you know, our thoughts are, sometimes they come back when we're, you know, just not paying attention and all of a sudden it might come back. You can actually do some other techniques. And one of them is just say, I'm having the thought that I am not trusted. And you can sort of repeat that three times and sort of breathe in between the times you say it. And then I'll actually create a little bit of space between you and that thought because you are not your thoughts. And then you can say, I am noticing that I am having a thought that I am not trusted. So do you want to give that a try?
Mm-hmm. I actually like that one. I mean, I use that a lot. I notice I'm having the thoughts.
Okay. So let's see how it feels.
I'm not having that thought right now. See, you've already gotten me out of that thought.
Actually, you've already gotten yourself out of that thought.
Well, thank you with your help.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Jennifer, I'm...
Yeah. So,
I don't know if you want to give somebody else a chance or if you want to keep this.
Well, yeah, well, I was just seeing if there was anything else you wanted to throw in there before I jumped in.
Yeah, no, I could go on for a long... I could go on for another half an hour. Yeah. I hope you're with spot. It sounds like you're already good.
Well, yes. And so, you know, if you had an entire session, I did want to go back to the work for a minute. What is the turnaround that you threw out, Melissa? I don't trust, or what was it?
Yes, that was it.
Are there actually situations where you don't trust?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just for kicks and giggles, give me a piece of evidence.
You know, I guess it still stems back from, like, around a work situation and a friend that became a friendship situation. It's that sense that I know someone really well, and then they flip around, and there's such a level of betrayal on their part. I feel like how can I trust?
Mm-hmm.
How can I trust seeing somebody as, I mean, how can I trust and still keep myself safe? Or why did mm-hmm. I trust them so much when they turned around and...
Okay. So this kind of goes into a different realm. Is it okay for you not to trust other people?
Yes. Mm-hmm. In certain circumstances, yes. I think it's important.
Yes. Okay. So I just didn't want to skirt by that. So give me another piece of evidence of I don't trust. Can you give me specifics?
Yeah, I've had a lot of abuse in my life, and so I don't, specifically men, I don't automatically trust men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that keeps you safe, correct?
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. It's your, and I'm just, give me another piece of evidence. That you don't trust.
I've been without my parents most of my life, and so I have an aunt who I'm close to, and she gives gifts, and then she turns around and takes them away. So I never trust that she's actually giving.
Mm-hmm. And so you trust your... Because of past evidence, because of past experience, that you have with her. You trust your knowledge about how she might act in the future.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I do.
Okay. And is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this whole, here's, and this could be a whole session, but there's this whole thing that it's kind of like an, I see it's, it looks kind of like a flower unfolding a little bit around the issue of trust for you. And it is you giving yourself permission to not trust and knowing that that is called discernment and it's very healthy. Boundaries are very healthy. And that what happens when you then turn that back on yourself and you don't trust yourself?
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which is an old pattern because people told you, oh, what you saw is not what you saw. You know, it was a question, big question mark. So this is an old pattern. So I love, Jennifer, that you talked to her about, and she is familiar with the ACT tool, but this, whenever we run across an old pattern like this, it gets very entangled on you trusting them, them trusting you, people telling you lies about what you actually trusting yourself about. I mean, it gets so entangled that being able to, that's the first step in changing a pattern, being able to take it outside of yourself and go, wow, look, I'm having this thought that they don't trust me. Fascinating. That is not me. So, Jennifer, I love that you spent the time to go over that.
Yeah,
because this is something that might come up in various and sundry ways. Does that make sense?
I was wondering if, yes. And I was wondering whether to go, because I know it was already, I am not trusted. The going to the turnaround of what you just mentioned, which is I don't trust myself. If we had more time, I would have gone to that one. But I feel like sometimes if they don't turn it around that way, I don't want to add to the pain necessarily. But I was curious.
Yeah, and she already, when you asked question four, she goes, but I do trust myself. She had already kind of gone there.
Yeah.
And so that's actually why I thought this turnaround that kind of got skirted past was a little bit juicy, is I don't trust. That in itself is trusting herself.
Yeah.
If she can see different places. So it's a different way to kind of come at that without possibly going back into the story, if that
makes sense. It does.
Yes,
it's
outward, not inward.
Yeah, I don't tend, if someone's feeling good about the original thought, I don't tend to do all of the turnarounds that could potentially be there if they don't bring them up, because I just feel like that I did like the idea that she does trust her gut. She should trust her gut.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I love that you didn't dig around, because this is it was a very simple sentence. And, you know, turning around to other can sometimes get in other people's business. It was already to self in one element, but then I don't trust them, or I don't trust. I don't know, Melissa, you can tell me, was that fruitful or not to kind of look at that and spend a little bit of time finding evidence for that one?
It's very, very. It actually gave me a little aha moment, so.
What was the aha moment, just out of curiosity?
Well, that I don't trust. I mean, I just said I trust myself, but that I don't always trust myself, and that I do need to go into what I think that silent part of me and trust my gut.
Uh-huh. Because why?
Well, because my gut has, when I can't think of an occasion when my gut hasn't really led me towards something safe.
Uh-huh. So give me some evidence where you're. So give me, and so this Jennifer is kind of like building on the original. It's like the more evidence you can find for now these turnarounds, the stronger this new neural pathway is going to become, and that's important because this is a really, you identify that it goes back to childhood. This is a really old pattern. More than 10,000 hours have been spent on this don't trust yourself pattern. Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. Now that we're in the middle of it, Melissa, give me some. You just said my gut. I've never had a moment when my gut hasn't steered me in the right direction. Give me some specific pieces of evidence.
Going to my basement one time just out of pure need to find out that kids had put wet towels on top of an extension cord and there was a fire starting.
And my
gut just told me to go to the basement before we left to go to a movie. So things as meaty as that to just meeting someone and having a bad vibe and finding out that they were wanted for child molesting. So it's pretty much all. And it scared me, for instance, this Christmas. My gut said, do not go up in the attic to get this right now. Wait till your husband gets home. And I fell and broke my arm trying to do it on my own.
Oh, my goodness.
So I did, did not listen to my gut that time, and I should have. So my gut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I pretty much trust my gut.
Awesome. Okay, now in this moment right now, go to the situation with your husband and the grandkids.
Daughter-in-law.
That you open the call with.
Mm-hmm.
If you would trust your gut, listen to your gut, what might be the next action you would want to take? Or not want to take with that relationship?
I think I just want to talk to mom to find out what her concerns are, because I don't know.
Communication.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful thing. Yeah. So how might you start that dialogue? From this place, in your center, in your core.
I think I would just probably say, I'm just wondering what your concerns are about us watching the kids.
Yeah. Okay, so back up even further. How would you even set up the appointment? Would you pick up the phone? Would you text? Would you email? What would it look like?
I want face-to-face. Yeah,
okay.
I would definitely have a face-to-face with that. So,
how might you arrange that? Back up even further.
When we see them, which we're going to see them this coming weekend for Father's Day, when I see, I don't want to ask around the kids, but I'll get her by herself.
Nice. Okay.
And I tell her how much we love them and how much we want to spend time with them, and that I was wondering what her concerns were. So.
What do you want to get out of the discussion? You personally, not your husband, not the kids. What do you personally want to get out of the discussion?
You know, I want to find out. I really want to know if there's reasons, if there's things that we can do differently to help with that trust. I mean, if she's seen us with a kid do something that she thought was risky, I'd love to know what that is. So I can help build that trust in that relationship. So my ultimate goal would be able to see the children more without mom and dad around.
Why?
Because it's bond with you differently if the parents aren't around, and they bring me great joy.
Okay. All right, so everybody on the call, where do you think her energy is right now? Jennifer, where do you see it, like in your own body? Where do you think her energy is?
Her energy is in their business, not in hers. When she's talking about wanting to see the children without them around, I don't know.
It was a little bit there, yeah. And then when I asked why, she said, because it brings me great joy, I could feel it all of a sudden back into her own center.
No, that was in her center, but the other parts, I felt like she was kind of dancing around the joy. She wasn't really.
Yeah. So that is an important thing, is that getting really clear, and this is kind of like, you know, this is how a whole session would unfold. You know, you do the work, and then is getting really clear about the outcome and to make sure that you're really in your own business about what the, you know, it is something that you can impact. And so she's, and Melissa, we're kind of talking about you, but so apologize. You know, when she said, you know, what is it that she is, has she witnessed anything that she feels comfortable about? Is there anything that I can do to change and help? To me, that is all within her core of sphere of influence. That is in her business, and it does get kind of intertangled when you're talking about kids and grandkids.
Yeah.
So that one little piece, you know, so Melissa, why is it, did any of that resonate or not resonate with you, by the way?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So the one little piece of wanting to be with them without them around, what is that about?
When mom and dad are around, they go to mom and dad for everything. And we've only been with them on our own on two occasions so far, and they completely are involved with us. Mom and dad are around. They're involved with mom and dad, and we're still the periphery.
Okay. And so you want to have that genuine connection with those kids?
Yeah.
Concentrated?
Yeah.
Why?
I just enjoy that one-on-one connection with kids. I mean, I kept my nieces and nephews each a month in the summer, and having them without their parents just created this amazing relationship that I don't think would have, well, actually, that they as adults say they wouldn't have had with me had they not had that.
Ah. Okay. Where do you feel that in your body?
My heart, definitely.
Okay. So, again, when you're talking about kids and people can argue all day long, you're in their business, you're in my, but it's really how does Melissa feel? And I can kind of feel it, and it does. And, again, it gets really, when you're talking about interpersonal relationships, you want the connection with the other person. You kind of want to be in that person's business, but not in a controlling manner, in a manner that is a connection from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, if you're familiar with the chakras, you know, you don't want to be connected from these lower chakras. You want to connect from the heart. Because that is a heart-based connection and not a control-based mechanism. And so that's the reason, actually, Melissa, why I was asking these questions is some people would want to connect with those kids in order to control them. You know, mom and dad, I want to show them a different way. You know, I want to show them how it is with grandma. You know, or whatever they call you. You know, and this to me sounds like I just for the joy of it, I want this connection with them because I love them. And that's what being human is all about. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're not at all. I'm madly head over heels in love with them.
Okay. All right. So going into Sunday, you feel okay?
Equipped.
I do.
I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Oh, you're welcome.
Jennifer's.
Oh, sorry. I went with me. Sorry about that.
Talking to you, Jennifer.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Jennifer Voss, I have a question. It's Jennifer Peters.
Yes.
I'm just still a little confused about the other turnaround, like when you turn around to the other. And I don't know if it's the grammar of it all, but can you just review what that means again?
So, okay, what was the exact language of this thought?
That was, I am not trusted.
I'm writing it down because I have a memory about the size of a pea. I always have to write. This is the only thing I write down mostly in notes when I'm coaching is the thoughts. So I am not trusted. So a turnaround to other could be they are not trusted. Which, you know, she could have sat and said, well, they are not trusted. Their opinion, back to the old work situation, you know, they are not trusted. Their opinion of me is not correct, so therefore they are not trusted. Or she could find reasons why they wouldn't be trusted. If that one, to me, is a good turnaround to spend time on in some situations, like if she were really doubting her own trustworthiness and she really could not see the fact that they were manipulating, you know, or something, you know, if you have a client that is in a manipulative situation and she's turning all the trust issues on herself and she can't see that they are not to be trusted, that might be a turnaround worth sitting on. This case, not so much. It didn't feel like it would have as much juice. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You could also, you know, trust is not me, or trust is me, but that, I don't think that has much, that could get really tangly and icky and go back into the original belief in this case. So
right.
I wouldn't have gone there either. And it's already the self. So I think the two turnarounds that we did, you know, I do not trust is, to me, a valid turnaround. I do not trust them is another valid turnaround to the other. And she came up with it, or I think she came up with it. I don't remember who came up with it. Again, memory, size of the pea. Does that help?
Yes, thank you so much.
Good. So, Jennifer, how was that coaching?
It was good. I find when I coach alone with me and one other person, I'm a lot more comfortable than knowing that there's many people
sure.
that could be listening to me. So I get a little,
sure.
a little cloudiness going on in there, I feel like. But it's a good exercise for me because I would like to coach people in group sessions. So I want to practice that. So it felt better than it has before. So it means that I'm improving with that,
mm-hmm.
having no story in my head about the judgment that could be happening, if that makes sense. But in terms of, you know, being in not clouding her story with my story, that was definitely could have totally gone in that direction, but it didn't because I noticed it as soon as it started happening. As soon as she said I'm married to someone who has four kids, I was like, but my immediate in my head was me too. I noticed that was happening, so I just let it. I noticed it and I let it go, I let it drift away, and I focused on her stuff. So I think that was happening, which I think is natural. It probably happens when people have a you spot it, you got it.
Sure.
Yep. So there were just places I felt like when
sidebar, the whole you spot it, real quick, quick sidebar on that, the whole you spot it, you got it thing, which yes, you're going to attract clients that are a lot like you or that have passed a lot like past that are a lot like your past, if you're anything like
mm-hmm.
most of the coaches I know. And so it could be easy that you would fall into your blind spot. And you're saying you didn't feel like you fell into your blind spot, correct? Is that what
no.
you're saying?
I'm saying that. That was good.
Awesome.
But I noticed that there were areas that I could have, and I just let them go, and I focused on her.
Nice.
And what
nice. That in itself is a fabulous tip. You know, if you find yourself in your blind spot, and a lot of times you'll notice by, you know, you're kind of a get up in your head and you start spinning and you start trying to fix things for the client, or at least that's what my body and mind do. I kind of drop, I leave my body and start trying to fix it for the client because I get anxious. Oh, my God, if I can fix it for her, I can fix it for me, except for I don't have that awareness. But that's what my subconscious is doing. And just to notice that could be possible, oh, this story is similar to mine, and see it, and then the focus on the client and the energy of the client. I think that's beautiful. Well done.
Thank you.
What else?
I didn't throw out a hunch. So I kind of, at the end of this whole thing, not during it, I was like, oh, I never threw out a hunch. But I don't necessarily think I had to. I think we got where we needed to go just mm-hmm. by focusing on the work. So I know that's part of the thing is saying say more and throwing out a hunch. I didn't do that. And so I was curious. I didn't think it was a problem, but do you think that was a miss for me that I didn't throw out a hunch?
No. If you have it laid out right in front of you, you don't have to throw out a hunch because it's laid out right in front of you.
Yes. Okay, good. I was like, it felt redundant.
Yeah, and that's the beauty sometimes of coaching a coach and also or somebody, you know, that's in these classes, somebody that's willing to come in, here's the issue, blah. But then also sometimes coaches can be the slipperiest because, you know, we think we've got it all figured out and our issue is really buried in there. So you only have to go through that routine and say, you know, I have a hunch, tell me where I'm wrong. You only have to go through that routine if it's necessary. That's the same,
yeah.
honestly, with what's one of the kind of the tenets of this coaching is coaching is a subtractive process, not an additive process. Don't do anything that's not necessary.
Okay. I just wasn't sure in our practice if we're supposed to be, even though she's a coach and she knows some of the things, I was curious how much explaining we need to do as part of our...
You are showing up as you with the client as they are meeting the client where they are. That right there, and this is coach to coach four, which means we're not focusing on any specific tool. So yeah. I am thrilled that you showed up and you did your thing and you didn't do anything superfluous. That's a big word. And I would hope that for anybody out there that you just show up and you do your thing and you don't check the boxes. I'm not a fan of just checking the boxes. So I'm glad you followed your intuition. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It felt good, other, you know.
Yeah.
In general.
But
I was happy.
Fabulous.
Not that I was attached to your outcome, but I was, you know, kind of excited that
this is the thing that I kind of laugh about. We always say, okay, don't get attached to the outcome. The client has their own process, blah, 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 blah. I don't think you'd be human if you didn't get a little bit attached to the outcome, quite honestly, because that's what we do, what we do. We love. It's kind of like her. It's kind of like Melissa wanting to be with the grandkids. She's going to be a tiny bit attached to that outcome because it means something to her. It's just a matter of what do you do with that energy and can you let it go? I mean, being attached to the outcome gives you the adrenaline to move through and gives you kind of an idea of okay, the work. I'm attached to getting to the turnarounds, right? I mean, it's because I know kind of the flow of the work, and I'm, you know, we're going to move through the four questions and the turnarounds and the evidence, and I'm kind of attached to that agenda, right? Because I trust the process, and I think it's going to help the client get to where they want to go. But I can also release the energy if I really feel like it's my attachment is impeding the growth of the client, or if I'm totally getting into their business.
Yeah, and I also thought, yeah, but I thought that if she, because there's a question in the work that asks about how it feels in your body, and sometimes I get the feeling that people are really having like a pain or a something, and they're really descriptive of it, and sometimes I'll switch, and I won't go through the whole work. I'll go to the dream analysis for the body. But in this case, I didn't feel my intuition was like we need to get through the evidence on this one. But so I guess I wouldn't be attached to this tool if I didn't think it was the right tool to do.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was attached to the fact that I wanted her to feel good when we were done.
Okay. And that's so just good to know. And then if she didn't at the end and you left the call and you felt bad because she didn't, then that would just be your work to do as a coach.
Exactly. Then I'd be getting my work done.
Yeah, and I've been there.
Okay.
Absolutely. So, Melissa, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much, Jen. I thought you did a great job coaching, by the way, and asked really pertinent questions that made me think. So, and I'm really excited for next Sunday.
Awesome. Does anybody else out there have any questions or comments?
Yeah, this is Cindy. Could you just speak again about when you were talking to her about being connected in the heart and about potentially being in the other person's business with quotes around it. I'm just, I don't know if I zoned out for a moment was it that her motivation for trying to understand what the other person wanted was because it was based on the fact that she loved the children? Is that why?
This is just my perspective, but if I'm concerned whether or not she's in her own business or not, if I felt like she was in the mom's business, like I want to see the kids and I want to see them by myself because I want to show them, I want to control the environment in some way, and because, let me take an example. Like, My mom. My mom, you know, wants to be around my kids in order to tell them what she thinks about certain things, because she and I think about different things a certain way. And so I know she loves the kids, but there's also this agenda and this control thing, and it feels very power-centered. It's not just, you know, a heart connection, like, oh, my God, my grandchildren bring me joy, and I want to be with them, and I want to have this heart connection and this relationship with them from childhood through to adult. Now, of course, I'm going to, you know, even from a heart connection, you're going to share opinions and whatnot, but it's not from a place of wanting to control and change. It's from a place of just love.
Okay.
And so... And that's the way because when you start talking about family members and his business, you know, my business, your business, God's business, it sometimes does get a little entangled, because it's kind of hard to figure out, well, am I over in their business? Well, they're my child, or they're my grandchild. And so, yeah, I kind of am over in their, or they're my client. They're paying me to be over in their business, you know. But if I'm coming at it from a heart-centered place of connection, then that's a mutually beneficial place to build that relationship. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. If I'm coming at it from a control, I want to control my client. I want to make them see my, you know, my agenda, all that. That's controlled center. That's totally in their business. That's yucky. That's the way I discern the two.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Okay. Cool. Any other questions? All right. So Cindy, you
yes.
had said
yes.
you're willing to coach. Yes?
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I need another client. Please. Oh, come on. Who is willing out there and willing to be the client? Okay. Then who do I know that's on the call? Oh, there are a couple more people on the call that I haven't said hello to. Hi, Julia. I don't think I've said hello to you. Julia.
I'm here. Sorry, I was trying to unmute.
Hi. Okay. Are you willing to be the client?
I'm having a hard time of thinking of a manageable problem because I have a big one.
Well.
If that makes any sense. So I don't know.
It makes perfect sense. Would you be willing to dive into it and get started, and then possibly I could either alert Terry and tell her it needs to be picked up on the next coach-to-coach call, or you can arrange to talk to Cindy after class at some point?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know. This is what we say, right? I don't even know if this is something that there's anything to do with it. hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, Julia.
How are you? I'm okay. I have, between my husband and I have five aging parents, and things are just not going well with several of them at the moment, and I'm just feeling a little overwhelmed with sort of medical problems and relationship management, and it's really getting me down, and it's making it difficult for me to focus on the things that I want to be doing. So I feel a little adrift.
Okay. Can you say more about the overwhelm, where the overwhelm is?
You mean in me or what it's made up of?
It's either way. I mean, probably.
Yeah,
in you. Yeah.
Well, there have been these sort of medical crises and relationship crises, and it just sort of feels like when I sort of get centered again and things are starting to feel a little stable, something else happens. So we've had this like 2 month period like this, with crisis or mini crisis after crisis or mini crisis. And, so I just sort of feel like I'm coming up for air and then getting hit back down. And so I'm not really finding, when I feel overwhelmed, it's like I can't get my footing.
Can you say more?
I'm like,
that?
There's, yeah, it's just like there's this, I'm feeling really sad about all of their health changes and health problems and relationship changes. And you know, hospital visits and hospital crises. So there's been a lot of roller coastery too, you know, thinking this might be it, and then, okay, good, it's not it, and let's figure out a new way to be with that person or, you know, manage that situation. What do I need to do anything? If I do, what do I need to do? It's just a lot of change, I guess. I'm just figuring this out as I'm talking to you. It's
no,
a lot is changing. Yeah. A lot is changing right now. And that's not necessarily my best thing. So I'm feeling a little like, I just feel a little overwhelmed by all the change and all of the close calls.
Okay. So you say change isn't your thing. My hunch is that part of what's going on is that it seems like you have to keep showing up and addressing different things, and you never quite know what's coming next, and it's sort of knocking the stuff out of you. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
Okay. So, you spoke before about it being slippery. Can you say a little more about that, what that feels like, that being slippery part of it?
I think it's just because it's changing so much. And because I don't know that I have to, but I feel pulled to take on a new role in the family, and that feels like I'm not really sure how to do that. And I'm not really sure I want to, and I'm not really sure it's necessary. You know, it sort of feels like all those things are at play. It's like a few of the puzzle pieces got shifted, and now everything else has to rearrange itself.
Yeah.
But it's not fitting together in an amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like sort of like what I hear you saying is that you went to sleep one night and you woke up and somebody changed all the rules and all the decor,
yes,
and everything else around you. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
So like a stranger in a strange land.
Yeah.
So what's the behavior that you find yourself doing in this situation? What's going on that's making you feel, what I hear you say is that you can't find a way to make yourself feel at ease or comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's true.
So what are some of the things that you would normally do that would make you feel that way, that might make you feel a little bit more at ease, a little more in your own skin?
Meditating helps.
Okay.
And making sure I'm getting enough sleep, which is getting easier again because we're between crisis points. You know how this is. I know you know.
I do. I do know exactly how this is. Yes. Yes.
So, but there's been a lot of not getting enough sleep, and then that sort of contributes to that disorientation and, you know, not being able to adapt.
Okay. So, why is it bad not to be able to adapt?
I think it's just that it all feels so out of control, and it is.
Okay.
You know, so I guess I felt like if I was keeping up better, I'd feel more like at least in control of myself. You know. I don't know.
Okay.
It would feel less tenuous, right?
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is that if you could do something, if you were better at this, it would feel better? Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so then what's the belief then? That you think you're not doing this right? Or that you should be able to do it better?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Did that feel right?
It made me cry, so that's
okay.
So yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. Okay. So should we work on that thought a little bit?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So then the thought is, I should be able to handle this, or if I do, I should be able to handle this. Does that feel right?
Yeah.
Can you come up with a better one? Okay.
No, that'll do.
Okay. All right. I should be able to handle this. Okay. Is it true, Julia, that you should be able to handle this?
The compassionate coachy part says no.
Okay,
but the inner voice says yes, right?
Okay. Okay. All right. Do you absolutely know that it's true? You should be able to handle this.
No.
Okay. So, when you're in this situation and the proverbial whatever is hitting the fan, and it's one thing after another, can you go to one of those moments or put yourself in that place where that's happened? Either the phone rings or you're doing something with your kids and something pulls you away.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have that thought that I should be able to handle this. What happens in your body? How do you feel?
It makes me feel small.
Okay. And what does that small sensation feel like in your body?
Tight, compressed.
Okay. When you feel that way, when you have that feeling of being compressed or tight or curled in on yourself, and you think you should be able to handle it all, how do you treat yourself when you believe that thought?
I do the good soldier nonsense, you know.
Okay.
Like, just trudge on, you know, do what needs doing.
Okay. And what generally happens in your body when that happens, when you do that?
Well, I think I end up fighting myself. So I do that, but I'm not very good at it. So I trudge on slowly and in this sort of unfocused, disconnected way that, so I end up not really effectively trudging on, so then I can get upset with myself for that, too.
Good. Sounds like a great formula.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, sounds fine. Okay, so when you're in this lovely cycle,
yeah.
How do you treat the people around you?
I think I get kind of distant and impatient.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, if you could no longer have this thought, if we could take this thought completely away and erase it from your memory, you can no longer have the thought, I should be able to handle this. And you're in that situation again where the phone rings or you're at the hospital or whatever that moment is. How would you feel if you couldn't have that thought, I should be able to handle this?
I think I'd just give myself the time to feel however I feel about it.
Okay. Good. Good. Okay. Should we try some turnarounds with it?
Yeah.
Okay. So what would the opposite be of I should be able to handle this?
I shouldn't be able to handle this.
Okay. Can you give me some evidence of why that might be true?
It's sort of an unreasonable expectation.
Okay.
Nobody can handle these things, you know?
Okay. Okay, can you give me another one, and why I shouldn't be able to handle this?
Well, because I'm not handling it. So that's sort of fighting with the reality of not handling it, right? I'm just judging myself.
Okay. Good. And you can come up with one more. I shouldn't be able to handle this.
I shouldn't be able to handle this. I shouldn't be able to handle this if handling it means not having it affect me.
Okay. Good. Really, really good. Okay. So let's try and turn it towards you. I should be able to handle this. What's another possibility?
I should be able to handle myself.
Okay. How does that feel? Does that feel like you could, it might be true? Or does it feel untrue?
Well, I have to be careful with what I mean by handle, right?
Okay, yes, good.
right? So if yeah. candle is the old way where I'm being a good soldier, then yeah. no. But if handling myself means handling myself with care,
yes, good.
Then yeah, that's truer.
Okay. So I should be able to handle myself with care is the better phrase.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So can you give me some evidence that would support that?
Yeah. Even with everything that's been going on, when I get more sleep,
mm-hmm.
it's easier.
Good.
When I meditate, it's easier.
Good.
When I... you know, remember to eat. It's here.
Cool. Very good.
So, and they all feed on each other.
Excellent.
Or feed each other.
Great. Good. Okay. Can you think of another phrase that I should be able to handle this might be turned into, that we could use that to turn into that might be something else that might be truer than the set phrase?
I don't need to handle it.
Excellent. Perfect. Okay, can you give me some evidence for that?
That's not really mine to handle.
Good. You mean some more?
I don't need to be tough about it, and I don't need to. I don't need to be everybody's mom.
Okay, good. Got another one?
People would be okay with me not handling it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So when I hear you doing this one, I think to myself, maybe asking you whose business all of this is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whose business is handling all of this? Is it your business? Is it somebody else's business? Or is it God's business?
A lot of it is God's business.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good stuff. So
yeah.
When you think the thought right now that I should be able to handle that, is that still feel that like that's truer than some of these other statements you've come up with?
No. No.
Good. Nice work. Excellent. So how do you think you might be able to live some of these turnarounds this week? Statements.
Yeah, I really need to focus on taking care of myself.
Okay. Okay. And what might you do? What's something you might do this week that would help facilitate that, make you feel like you were taking that action?
I think I need to be more, committed to getting enough sleep because I can right now, seemingly, and meditating again because we're between peaks. So.
Okay. What about something along the lines of I don't need to be able to handle this?
Yeah.
Is there something in that statement that you could take away that you might want to work, see how it works?
Yeah. I think I just need to make some room to not be together.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Jennifer?
Yeah.
We okay?
If you were. Yeah, so how does that feel in your body, Julia?
It feels right.
Mm-hmm.
It feels right. A little bit of relief.
Okay. Excellent. So it may be something that brings up thoughts about what all that means and all of that. If you can touch into that place of relief,
mm-hmm.
then that's gold. Because that's, my hunch is actually what you're after is some relief.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Nice work, Cindy. So, Julie, are you okay? I know you said it was a big issue to kind of try to attack in 30 minutes, but are you at an okay stopping point?
I am. Thank you.
You're welcome. Cindy, how was that for you?
It was good. It's always interesting to me about, I always have those moments where I feel like a deer in the headlights. You know, it's like, oh my God, what's next? And then the person always says something that leads me somewhere. And oftentimes I don't know how I get where I get, but I felt, I felt a real physical connection to everything that was going on. So my body was like going crazy during the whole thing. So that was extremely helpful. So, yeah. Thank you, Julia.
Good.
I really appreciate you being so, so available. It was good.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm. Beautiful work. When you have a limited amount of time like that, and limited meaning, you know, half of a normal session maybe, and the client comes at you like, this is really big, the place that you went I thought was beautiful, the place of overwhelm. That's something that can be talked about, discussed in this length of time. The big issues with the parents, with the other, you know, all the other people, maybe, but for you to pick that one point to go into, I thought was beautiful, Cindy. So just bravo for that and staying there and just talking to her about what was going on. I thought it was beautiful discovery. And it is big square one stuff. I mean, like catalytic event after catalytic event, square one stuff. So going in and using the square one tools, and a lot of square one is about focusing on self-care, returning, giving yourself as much care as you're giving everybody else in the situation or more.
Mm-hmm.
So I really thought it was lovely. So,
thank you.
Good job. Any questions? No. Well, if you do, you're more than welcome to. We'll bring them up to Terry the next time, or throw them out on the forum. So, and then, Julia, please do just, you know, do take care of yourself. Square one can be, as they say, a real bitch. And so, just noting it for what it is. Not trying to push it away, but taking extremely good care of yourself in the middle of it. So, yeah. Anybody else? We're at the end of the class time. Does anybody else have any questions or comments? No?
Well, hi, this is Donna.
Hi. Oh, yes.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I have a similar situation to Julia. And things kind of exploded this week. And Cindy, you helped me so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing I love about this coaching is even if the situation doesn't seem related at all, these tools really help us find a place to put our feet and get some relief. And it doesn't answer everything. It doesn't fix everything, but it does bring that meditative, still point of, you know, I can walk through this and treat myself more gently and therefore have more compassion for others and just not do it better, but do it, do it better.
Give yourself that. Better in what does doing it better mean? Being more compassionate with yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just so grateful for the timing of this course in my life with everything that's going on and for all the brave people who are willing to be coaches in front of us. Just Jennifer and Cindy, you did beautifully, both of you, and I just have to say thank you. I'm so grateful for you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Donna. Anybody else have anything before we go for the day? All right. Well, unless Terry tells me otherwise, she will be back for you guys for your next class, and it was a pleasure. I hope I run into you again.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You guys have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.